I'll tell you what we're going to do, Trish. We're going to think about Gina's affirmation, and we're going to start visualizing and speaking of
Juve outside in Montreal, speaking it into existence.
Thank you. That's to become reality. Thank you for that, Gina.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and with that, let me segue here. Remix. Did this come in now? Am I playing it? You see, where's my remix? Is this thing playing? You guys hearing my intro?
No.
You see, that's the thing with this disrespectful computer. Shut. I'm thinking I'm dropping all kind of hot remixes. You guys ain't hearing the remix?
No.
How about this? Still nothing?
Still no.
Welcome to the OFC Community Updates, bringing you the past, present, and future community news.
Please remember that you were Africans before you became anything else.
I guess Burna Boy's mom wanted to make sure that we remember that. Big shout out to Burna Boy's mom. Her and I are cool. I talk to her all the time. So, time for community updates. Do we have any? Guys, I can't wait. I can't wait to get to the business zone because we're talking affirmations, we're talking visualizations, and we have an awesome brother coming in. I just got hype as I just thought about it. So let me see what's going on. Well, last week, we already gave a shout out to Nayla Ali because she's doing dope things, and I'm working hard to get her on our show, guys. She's just super busy, but if we could get her on, it's gonna be just dope. Okay, sorry, Gina, I didn't mean to jump on things on your end.
I'm gonna come in at Black Canadian Women in History. So if you have any current events that you want to share with the people, I know times are slow these days, but if you have anything, by all means.
Yeah, well, what I want to plug, like there's a couple of different things, but I'm not gonna deep dive in a bunch. One I want to share. I don't know if you guys know Roma Spencer. She has this thing. Where is it? The My Execution Will Be Televised, a film by Roma Spencer. I'm gonna share it on our page. I just thought it was a really powerful. It's a little clip. It's like a Black Lives Matter type of clip, but it's like I love it. I just felt it spoke volumes. Very artistic. So big shout out to Roma Spencer and what she's done. So again, I'm going to plug the link on our page. It's just that I wanted to plug her. It's a little clip she had produced. It's like 5 minutes long, but it's heavy, like just in terms of just, again, Black Lives Matter. And I just, when I saw the title is what really said, you know, I want to talk about this a little bit, where My Execution Will Be Televised. Because, like, you know, that old saying, like, you know, the revolution will not be televised. I feel if we are to actually create a revolution, it's not going to be on social media. It's, if we're going to do it for real, where it's going to be a real revolution, and it's not going to be on social media. It's going to be something where people actually are able to figure out how to mobilize and to come together and stuff like that, but outside of the major media platforms. So that just, you know, kind of jumped out at me. I was like, ooh, that's dope. And obviously, her being a sister, I said it's something I would definitely like to share with the peoples. And there was something else. Also, for those who are looking for any kind of pearl, jackets, shoes, clothing, what else do they have there? I said sneakers, I said boots, I said jackets for all genders, all ages. I say clothing and accessories. Check out Swag City. Big shout out to Swag City in Côte-des-Neiges. Now they're located in the Côte-des-Neiges Plaza. They offer a kind of unique service. Like, you know, like certain businesses, they could do like the curbside pickups and stuff like that. Get in contact with the store and just tell them what you need, and they will coordinate for you to get what you need. And that's what I appreciate. And that's a community business, guys. Like, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again, and I will continue to say it, that we have to make an effort, go out of our way to spend money within the community to support our small to medium-sized businesses. Because what's messed up is that they still got rent to pay. they still have to function, right? So while the system is crushing them, while the industry, everything is kind of flipped upside down, they're trying to do their best to maintain, and any kind of support that we could give them is always appreciated.
Earl, can I plug one place, please, if you didn't mind? So for the ladies and gentlemen who are looking for Black hair products, you can do a curbside pickup at Gilgal Beauty. That is on 1737 Shevchenko Boulevard, LaSalle, Quebec. What you do is you go onto their website, you order what you would like, you prepay for it with debit card or credit card, and then within either hours or 24 hours, it will be ready for you to pick up. So that's Gilgal Beauty Supply in LaSalle. Very, very, very awesome. You know what I mean? They've got a lot of products, and it was very quick and easy for those of you guys who are looking for Black hair care products in the community.
Yo, dope. And if you could plug that on our page too.
I sure can. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you could go back there and check it out, that'd be ill. And I just plugged another article and I'll be honest, like I didn't get a chance to go through it, but it was just like, I'm big in, I watch a lot of animation. And, there's just like animation in Africa is booming, and it's like, it's anyways, like everything in Africa is booming. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I give a huge shout out. I was trying to find an excerpt I wanted to play. I'm going to dig it up with Malcolm X explaining that, like, the change, the evolution, like the empowerment of our community as melanated people is when we start to value and appreciate Africa again, because we have been conditioned, we have been brainwashed to believe that the continent is not a glorious and beautiful place. Anyways, I'm going to digress, because I was about to deep dive. You guys have no idea on how we've been tricked by the medias to think Africa is a destitute place, but there's a lot of beautiful things going on in Africa. It's a wealthy place, a very, very powerful place. So I encourage you guys to just continue to look into Africa, support everything coming out of Africa, invest in Africa, and just keeping it going. And I guess that's a beautiful way of closing out this segment, as we're now getting ready for our business zone.
Because we don't want my Black Canadian women in history.
You know, wow. That was a subtle disrespect, on my part. That was subtle disrespect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely was.
Okay,
it
wait. Was. And just to not disrespect you two times, can I play background music a little bit? Are we okay with this?
All right. We're good.
Yo, yes. Remix, Gina the Great, go true.
All right, so today our three highlights, starting with Stella Maggie. The Globe and Mail has hailed Stella Maggie as Canada's most powerful cultural export. That's not an exaggeration. Maggie is a Toronto-born writer-director who made her TIFF, so that's the Toronto International Film Festival, debut in 2016 with Jean of the Joneses. A dramedy about grief and family dysfunction, starring an all-Black cast. Maggie also teamed up with Girls Trip producer Will Packer for The Photograph, a romantic drama, and a rom-com American Princess, both starring Issa Rae. So shout out to Stella Maggie. Mm. Also on the docket, we have Violet King. In her grade 12 yearbook, Violet King wrote down a simple dream: to become a criminal lawyer. King enrolled in the University of Alberta in 1948, becoming the only Black female student of her class. She was also the VP of the school student union. When King graduated, she became the first Black person in Alberta to graduate law school and be called to the bar. Inherently, that made her that gave her the achievement of becoming the first Black female lawyer in Canadian history. So shout out to Violet King. You know, she paved the way for people like my aunt, who's a lawyer today. So shout out to Violet on that.
You know.
And yes, just putting out people's government names on your phone. Jeez.
Well, she's a lawyer. She's not giving out thug names.
Doesn't matter. You don't know what business she wants on these streets. And our last highlight for today is Jean Augustine. And I quote, "Being the first Black feels good, yes. But more than that, it says to others and to ourselves that Blacks can be in every place in society," end quote. The Honorable Jean Augustine gave that quote to the Globe and Mail in 2002, right after she was appointed Canada's Secretary of State for Multiculturalism and Status of Women, making her the first Black woman in cabinet. She would go on to achieve more, a few more firsts, including becoming the first Black woman elected to Canada's House of Commons, where she pushed forward a motion to acknowledge February as the Black History Month in Canada, because they had it in the States. They didn't have it in Canada before. I didn't learn any Black history in school. That didn't exist for me. So just saying, or I should say high school. So Black history in this country. She's built her career on not only being the first, but uplifting Black communities so that they could also be the second, the third, and so on and so forth. So she hasn't just climbed the ladder. She sent it back down so others could climb it too.
I love that.
Yeah, good two thing. Schools in the Greater Toronto area have been named in her honor. And in 2009, she was made a member of the Order of Canada for her distinguished career as an educator, politician, and an advocate for justice, for social justice in Canada. And on her 80th birthday, she celebrated with a low-key party of 650 guests that raised money for the education of marginalized youth. Okay, Jean Augustine, okay?
Big shout out. I met her in Ottawa when I was invited for one of those like ceremonies. I can't remember which one, but she's an awesome woman, very humble, very cool. I think I even had an opportunity to sit on a panel with her once, actually. She's super, super cool. Big shout out. Big shout
out. So that's Black Canadian Women in History for y'all folks today.
Black facts, Black facts. So yo, we got to post those on our page. And throughout, one of the members of my board was asking, like, you know, are we going to do anything special for the quote unquote Black History Month? I say quote unquote just because, you know me, it's Black History all year round, like 24/7.
This whole show is Black history, though.
That's what I'm saying. Every episode. That's why I'm like, are we going to do something special? I don't know. I don't know what more we could do, because every week to us is Black history. So I don't know. We'll have to think about it, guys, listeners. Let us know if you have any ideas, anything you want us to do special, anything you want us to do different. I have a cool audio of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King versus. I don't know if you guys.
Prime told me too. I'm gonna get the name while we have music to have to mention it. But it's a written fiction. If Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, two other people, if they sat down one night to speak about what they did in history, I'm gonna get the name and I'm gonna share it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you see. Now you're talking. So yeah. So with that, guys, let's segue a little bit. I'm gonna play a little tune, and then we're gonna come back with the business zone and get into the dang gone thing. Okay. Wait. You guys know how to get down. Let me transition this. Remix. I wish I had a better crossfader.
Pow, sit down, chow, and let me teach a lesson. He who oversees the blessings, specialize in repossessions. Be cautious when you use discretion, 'cause you never know. If your position ain't near the sun, then you'll never grow. It's hard to get things through your head if it's never combed. My papa used to tell me often I should never loan a penny to a thief or a dime to a liar. Be careful when you speak, keep in mind that the fire usually comes out the mouth of a dragon. So when you feel yourself spasming, just keep in mind that you are the sole supplier of the heat that those around you feel. Tell them folk that hold you down that you won't drown with gills. If frowns could kill, we all be dead how they look at us. But we forever battle while they just come at us with the pistol grip. About to do a car wash on the drop top. Gonna 60 seconds if they pull a pop lock. On a stopwatch. First you do the drive-by, then do the chop shot. Gosh, Josh, just a kid who was a hot shot. Heckler and Cots cop, it go pop. A robbery got botched, then it got. They drew down on this whole street like it's hopscotch. Like zucchini is just some things we cannot squash. I got the same information that the cops got. Heard when he got shot that a Glock dropped.
And it was fully loaded. How you know it? Cause my little Brody asked me, could he hold it? Told him if he told it, I didn't know it, so he better throw it. Cause I had to report it stolen. Said his killer had a pistol, grip, palm, in his palm, fully loaded. He might dump, he might slump your footy, slab, candy, coated. He at war, but got peace. Only love is the streets. When you're raised in the jungle,
I don't hear talking shit. Y'all be talking on the net. Shooters. Sparking, I be riding for my set. My dogs barking, leaving niggas in the vet. Titties perky, I be rubbing on the chest. Bags Birkin, shooters lurking. Black Suburban, catch them lacking on purpose. Fiends serving, see them, hurt them, got them, murk them. Niggas clowns in the circus. Bags Birkin, shooters lurking. Black Suburban, catch them lacking on purpose. Fiends serving, see them. Heard him, got him, murk him, niggas clowns in a circle.
Wait, youngin' and I'm drippy, hit it, then she miss me, I'm tryna get litty, double cup, I sippy sippy, okay, yeah, they with me, gotta keep that blicky, hottest in the city, ain't nobody fucking with me, yeah, y'all talk on the...
Woo! Yeah, so we want to give it up to Montreal's own TGE Truth, the TGE crew, TGE Marks. There's a bunch of young brothers that come with this crew. And I just want to shout out and just give it, and TGE Steffi, TGE Watts, I just want to give them the shout out that they need and they deserve.
I love that.
This week, a bunch of Montreal artists just became TikTokable. So now if y'all don't understand what that is, that right now just means that the chances of going viral are that much more greater. So if you check them out on TikTok, they got a dope TikTok, is really dope. And so what I want you guys to do is check them out. Learn the challenge, put your videos out there, because they got a little prize for whoever could do it best. So check that out, check them out. Also, I wanna give a shout out to a New York rapper named Lady London. She became TikTokable a couple of weeks ago, and she had one of the dopest TikToks that I've seen in a long time. A young lady, I can't remember her name right now, but if y'all know her, you know what I'm talking about. If you follow in hip hop entertainment, Lady London had a young lady do one of her songs in a TikTok last week and killed it. So we are we're back in that phase right now. I'm even learning some TikToks myself. So y'all get in, get hip, and you know,
I'm trying to wrap my brain around this whole TikTok thing. I'm still having a hard time. I think I need to.
It's a place for creatives, right? It's a place for you to be creative, to show your talents and expose your talents in different ways. So people are cooking, dancing, singing. It's a lot of different stuff depending on what you're interested in. But for artists, TikTok is a big thing right now, because you put your lyrics in there and people actually boost your music by making their own dances to it. So we are onto something right now.
So wait, so when I just pulled up Lady London, maybe it's not the same thing, because I'm seeing AMPD Freestyle. I don't know if that's the same person you're talking about or if it's something else.
I'm going to send you something on her. But in the meantime...
Okay, so it's basically, it's a plot, and that's the thing. Like, you definitely just enlightened me, because I wasn't aware. I really... Like, I, in all honesty, I see more, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't want to say children, but I see more younger people than myself usually on there. But mind you, I'm lying, actually. Now I'm thinking about it, and as you broke it down, now I can look at it differently, because it is a platform for artists. It's a platform to be creative, to be able to support, like, independent artists and their stuff. I was not messing with TikTok at all, to be completely honest.
Well, and this is what we got from TikTok right now. We are pretty much pushing the envelope when it comes to music and what can be done with it. So like I said, it's a space for creatives. A lot of people say that they don't like it because they don't want the kids on there dancing and gyrating and doing a bunch, because it is, they would say it's a site for kids. But I like TikTok, I like the dances, and I really, like I said before too, I don't feel like we're responsible for the people's children and keeping them in line. You got to make sure what your children are doing and ain't doing on TikTok. So TikTok is the move for artists.
Okay, and see, so I'm not completely tripping, because that was that, like, what I really did like associate with children. I have a lot of children around me and whatnot, so it's like anytime I hear or see it, it's usually the youth I'm talking about. So I never really took it on as a platform that, yeah, I thought it was a joke thing. So now you're telling me something serious, I will take the time to actually check it out.
Good luck. you got to check it out.
And I definitely appreciate you taking the time to just shout out the local artists, the independent artists, because that's what we are. That's what the Empower Hour is for. And we want to encourage artists. Like, yo, hit us up. Get in contact with us. We will share your music. We are here for you.
Yes, absolutely. I've been trying to put it out there for a while and let them know. I know a lot of Montreal artists are afraid to, you know, this cancel culture thing is a big thing for us too. But just know that the Empower Hour is here for you. That's what we're here for, because we want to see Montreal go to the next level. We're trying to empower you to be the best you. So come through, drop some music on me. You know, we'll play it. We'll critique it a little bit. For my next part, I just want to talk about something that's actually a little bit comedic. There was a little bit of drama in Hollywood this week. And no, I'm not talking about the stuff that was going on at the White House. Lord have mercy. So, the City Girls and an online celebrity, like one of these YouTubers, Rolling Ray, and the City Girls had an ongoing beef for a while now. And for those who don't know who Rolling Ray is actually... he's a comedian, he's a troll, and he's actually in a wheelchair. And there's a rapper, I don't know if we want to call him trans or transvestite, but we have Santana. So Santana came out last week or 2 weeks ago with a song called Walk. And this week, Rolling Ray was at an event, and somehow his wig caught on fire. And Rolling Ray was pretty much hospitalized for being burned, like 30 or 40% of his body being burned in a freak accident at an event that he went to after talking some junk to the City Girls. Mm. Well, Carisha from the City Girls goes on to tweet, "God don't play about me."
Oh, okay.
Rolling Ray has a personality. He was on Divorce Court with his significant other one. Did you see that episode, Kaya?
No, I didn't.
He was rolling around the courtroom, and Judge Lynn told her, had to tell him, "Excuse me, could you stop rolling around like that? Like, sit still." You know what I'm saying? Like, he had his wheelchair all up in there. He almost went up to her podium. It was crazy. So I know who that is. Wow.
Okay, so Saucy Santana has come for Rolling Ray with a song called Walk, which is definitely a big... this, because Rolling Ray, as we know, cannot walk.
So disrespectful.
That's
he's
sad.
Like, you know, I know you hoes could talk, but let me see if you could walk. Let me see you walk. But Rolling Ray can't. So it was like a big diss. Anyways, that's part of Hollywood tea this week. But I want to give a shout out to in the last part of my segment, I just want to say shout out to Lori Harvey for being like that chick. Like,
yes, what did they call her? The Thanos
of love. Like,
no,
the Thanos of like Hollywood. Like, I'm here for it. Oh, of dating. Yeah, the Thanos of dating. Let me get that right.
Mm-hmm.
She stole my husband.
Oh,
and
wait, give him back.
I'm not her.
She'll give him back.
No,
don't worry
about
it.
She has no idea. She done made everybody share with her. She finna share with me. She don't understand what she did. But Michael B. Jordan, she has literally locked down one of the most Hollywood's most eligible bachelors, Black eligible bachelors, Michael B. Jordan. So kudos to you, Lori Harvey, because you just won the big golden cup.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Is that how you guys talk about men? No, just kidding.
You heard, I said what I said, Farrah.
You said it, yeah.
I said what I said. No, he's definitely a catch. So, and everybody knows this, first things first. He got to play in Black Panther, so we just give him all the love just for that anyways, just because we know how hard it is for us to just get those roles, those powerful roles. And he did it, and he aced it, and I love him for that. So, yeah, we just want to shout out
to Michael
Jordan and Lori Harvey this week.
Yeah, no, he started out in The Wire.
Yeah. Long time ago. But I'm just saying, you know, that was a major, major lead, and that was like a big thing for us as Black people. So just want to give a quick shout out to them and just show them some love, just because Black love is real. And I just want, you know, us to be able to look back and see it doesn't matter what you've been through. You know, we've seen Cassie, we've seen Lori Harvey, we've seen a couple of girls in Hollywood not being taken seriously the way that we think that they should have been. And so I love the fact that you don't end up being, you know, tarnished because of the things that Hollywood may say about you. So I just want to give kudos to Black love. Amen. So that's my segment in entertainment. Love you guys. Mm. And thank you for having me.
Okay, keep doing it, Queen Kaya, because I'm saying, like, we rely on you to bring us, to keep us informed what's popping in the streets.
Yeah, I figure I'd give you guys a little kiki this week. Next week, I got some more stuff for you guys, but this week we're going to keep it light just because we had so many great things going on with the inauguration and, you know, just people just trying to do better. This is like a week of doing better. Like I said, this year, the year of pressure. So we're putting on pressure right now. And so we're going to keep the air light and happy and keep it moving.
Yeah. So in that case, with that, then, yo, you guys know how to get down. I'm going to do my DJ thing. Hold on. I don't think DJs are supposed to give you a heads up when they're transitioning music.
Nope, that's how we know. This is not your forte, but you're doing a good job though, brother. You know what?
Yeah, doing my daggone thing.
You are.
Sorry, Trish.
That was my request. It's totally fine. All the girls this morning should be dancing to that song, you know, or I'll try to get healthy, but that bumper must look fat. So, hey.
I might reel it up when you're done. I might play it again. Sorry.
That was supposed to be my song for modeling for Carnival, but it didn't happen, so that's okay. Anyways, folks, it's time for Coffee Conversation. So let me ask everybody in the audience and everybody on the panel, who knows or how do you spot a know-it-all? Do you guys know a know-it-all?
Well, when I look in the mirror. Sorry. Okay.
But no. So recently I'm working on a project that I'll talk about later on this year. And I have a fun team as usual, because I can't do this one on my own, although I wish I could. And I hired some people that I actually don't know. I wanted to work with other beings and other mindsets and other personalities. Yet, unfortunately, I've come across a know-it-all. So, folks out there, I want to, plug your brain, pick your brain. Also, you guys, if you guys know a know-it-all, everybody get your coffee cups. I'm going to give you 10 ways to spot a know-it-all. And you guys can also drink up if this is somebody you've met before or if this is you. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Mm-hmm. All right. The first one is, their life is a mess, but they're telling others how to live. Drink up, audience.
We know at least three.
You know, yes, 100%. I know a lot of those. Yeah,
so drink up, folks. If you guys do know one of those, if you are one of those, anyways, number two, they haven't failed big in the last 5 years.
You see, they haven't failed big?
Haven't failed big. You know when they say you fail, you get back up. You know what I mean? When your failures take lessons, you know, you take lessons from those failures. But know-it-alls tend to say they've never failed. They haven't failed in the last 5 years. Do you guys know anybody like that?
No, not particularly.
No, haven't failed. No, I could say I don't know anybody who says they haven't failed.
Okay. They, number three is they seldomly take advice.
Yes. Okay. Drinking to that.
Yes. And I've learned to not give unsolicited advice now, like, because sometimes people don't want advice. They just want to hear themselves talk. So,
amen. Yeah. Amen to that. And number four is they judge quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know enough of those Judge Judy's out there.
Again, I'm going to go over number four if they know someone who judges very quickly. Number five is they're brilliant at pointing out problems, but reluctant to take action.
Ooh, drinking to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm solution driven, so I have issue with people and who I are just, problematic.
That gets under my skin. I don't understand why talk about the problems if you have no intentions on solving them.
Exactly, yeah. but you're there saying what it is with no solution. Oh, mm-hmm. Annoying. Number six, they can always do better, even if they've never done it.
Drinking to that.
All right. Number seven is they talk more than they listen. The more power they have, the more they talk, and the dumber they sound.
Mm. Jesus, Trish, you're cutting deep.
I know, because we all know someone like this, or either we're that person. Nah.
Yeah. Too bad we're not drinking rum right now.
It's early.
No, yeah, you got to drink it early in the morning.
I'm just saying, we'd be drunk as hell right now.
Oh, you don't hear it in my voice? I'm sleazy right now. Go ahead, join that.
Number eight, we only got three more. They establish relationships with people that can get things done over themselves, getting things done, because they wouldn't do it.
Yep, definitely know those ones.
All right. Number nine is they're constantly thinking it can't be that hard while other people struggle.
Those are all the backseat drivers, you know, the ones who watch sports, right? And just like, yo, you suck, and then like, yo, all you had to
pretty
do is this.
Much.
Son, no, you're not the actor athlete here. Stop it.
You know, okay. And the last one is they expect more from others than they expect from themselves.
That's disgusting.
But let me ask you guys, do you guys have any of these traits?
No. I can't say I do.
I recognize one or two of myself.
Which would be?
I can't remember, but
yeah, I'm putting her on blast.
I know, right? Trish putting people on
blast. I was just saying, which ones was it? You know what I'm saying? That's all. I just wanted to know. No, not in a bad way.
Well, actually, at the time when you were saying them, I didn't want to stop you, but I was going to say, I don't think that those are really traits of a know-it-all. Those just sound like the traits of someone who maybe is lazy.
Yes. Well, that's the same thing, because a know-it-all is someone who just says a lot but does not very little. You understand what I'm saying? So, yes, they know everything, but they don't do anything. And that was one of the points, you know? They can always do it even if they've never done it. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, dang, doesn't say anything if you've never done it, please. So you are right. That is like also lazy traits, but it's a know-it-all. And me, it's like, I work well in groups, but then after I want to kick this person out of my group, but I also want to give them a chat. So it's a little bit, I'm a little bit on the fence about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've been accused a time or two of being someone who's always right or who knows it all, which, but the characteristics that you were giving to me I don't identify with them. But a lot of the times too, those people were telling it to me. I was just like, well, you're just mad that I'm right. Like, I don't know what to do for you about that. Like,
well, there are some
facts are facts.
What'd you say?
No, I'm saying facts are facts. Like, you can't be mad at me because I'm right.
Well,
like,
that's it. Know. There's a difference between being right and there's a difference between being wrong and strong. You understand what I'm saying? There's a big difference between that. If someone could accept that you are giving them correct information, that's a problem with their ego. However, if they're giving you issues of something that they've never done before or advice on they've never done before, but they're acting like they know it, then that's a know-it-all. And it's like, you know what, perhaps you're not fit for this group or project. And we really.
But I'll say this, happily, I don't, like, I may have known those people in places that I used to work, but thankfully they're not in my space anymore. So even when you say, like, do you know someone? I can say yes. I think I've met somebody who has all those characteristics, but because they're not in my space anymore, they're a non-factor. So, you know, life is blessed.
Exactly. Amen.
It goes back to where you put your focus. So not focusing on them kind of people that are out of your reality.
Amen. So that was this edition of Coffee Conversations.
Yeah. So I have something I want to play.
And it's like, I'm a little concerned. I hope we get our guest on. I'm not sure if we're going to get him on for today, or if he's going to come on for next week. As we were talking before, we're talking some Martin Malcolm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that movie on Prime that's coming, that came out, is One Night in Miami. And so One Night in Miami is a fictional account of one incredible night where icons Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown gathered discussing their roles in the civil rights movement and cultural upheaval in the 60s. So it's on my watch list. I haven't watched it yet, but
yeah, that's definitely. If you could pop that on our page, like the trailer or whatnot, so we could. Yeah, you said it's on what? What platform?
I seen it on Prime because okay. I'm a Prime subscriber, but okay. I'm not sure where else it's playing.
All right. Well, I want to just segue into a little something that it's a little mishmash of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, and your very own Pharoah Hammett Freeman. Let's run this. Hold on. Wait, am I playing this right? I think so. Look at this remix.
American Negro collectively is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more than all of the exports of the United States.
Reeling it up on purpose so we could take it in good, good, because I'm not sure if you heard that good. Boom.
American Negro collectively is richer. In most nations of the world, we have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more than all of the exports of the United States and more than the national budget of Canada. Did you know that? That's power right there if we know how to prove it.
We should own and operate and control the economy of our community. We have to become involved in a program of re-education to educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a run-down community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take your dollar.
We've got to strengthen black institutions. I call upon you to take your money out of the banks downtown and deposit your money in Tri-State Bank. We are telling you to follow what we are doing. Put your money there. You have six or seven black insurance companies here. Take out your insurance there. Now, these are some practical things that we can do. We begin the process of building a great economic base. We've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. We've got to see it through.
So our people not only have to be re-educated to the importance of supporting black business, but the black man himself has to be made aware of the importance of going into business. And once you and I go into business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community, what we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community.
The black man must unite in one grand racial hierarchy, making a racial empire upon which the sun shall never set. Be black, by black, be black, and all else will take care of itself.
Now we're talking with Pharoah Hammett Freeman. He is a chief coordinator of One Full Circle. Let's start by having you explain what One Full Circle is all about.
Well, One Full Circle, basically we're a community resource. Our slogan is Think of Us First. But our primary thing is uniting the French and the English-speaking black community. So it's creating, come together, they can build together, and they can come to know each other. Because we realize that there's a division between the communities based on language.
And really, it stemmed from our parents not knowing, basically, as an Anglophone, my parents not really being able to communicate in French. And basically, we grew up in an English community. But now, us, as technically second generations, we're all bilingual. But we were still following the trends of just building within the English community, et cetera. So now we found the need to do what we can to bridge the gap between the two communities.
What's the first step to bridging that gap?
Well, with us, it was getting people first. It's a trust thing. It's getting people to break down the barriers and seeing the value in coming together. So really, we started this whole thing of just helping people of all both languages, English and French, and setting an example, really, of that we could be of service and not have to, basically, if I do something for you, I'm not expecting you to be able to give things back to me. Everything is karmic. So everything really comes one full circle.
Okay.
So, you know, we
hence
want
the name.
Hence the name. Exactly. So far, so good at that.
Okay, OFC has, you have membership fees.
Exactly.
And you're hoping to get to 1,000 members by May.
That's our goal.
What will that depend on?
Well, now, right now, basically, so first to explain why we're on this member drive, so to speak, it's because we're growing, but we're very financially focused as well. As a nonprofit organization, we're set up in a way where we want to be self-sustaining. So now, the OFC really is just a community resource. Just, like I said, just think of us first. But now, to be one of the businesses listed in our directory, you have to be a member of our club. And the name of the club is called Community Keepers Club. So now, as basically a member of the Community Keepers, you're one, you see the value in supporting community development as a business owner. You see the value in providing good customer service and quality of product, and also you have a vision for longevity. So really what that means is that you're going to be here for the long term. That really we're trying to create jobs within the community. We're trying to really build a solid, self-sustaining community. So really we're reaching out to people who share that vision. So it's not just because you're a black-owned business. It's really because you see and you support those initiatives. So it's something that we're promoting not just for people within the black community to spend within. It's something that these are values that benefit everybody. So that's really what we're trying to do, is just create a self-sustaining community that provides good customer service and quality of products.
So would you describe yourself as a self-sufficient nonprofit?
Yeah.
Wow.
Totally.
So that's pretty awesome. There's so many groups that come on this show that that are so far from that.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, I work a lot with different various nonprofit organizations, and I realize that that's one of the hindrances, is just because you spend so much time writing grants and stuff, you become dependent on them. So we said, you know, from the beginning, we're going to try a different approach. We're going to try the approach where we're really dependent on, like, we depend on the people and the people depend on us. Mm-hmm. So we're membership based. Every member contributes, whether it be $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, or $20 a month, or they can make the annual contributions. But in enables us to continue to run, and we're completely at the service of the people.
American Negro collectively is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual
Yes, so that was a little, you know, call it an early Black History, because it's every week is Black History here with the Empower Hour. So that was just a as you guys know, a quick little Martin Malcolm and Marcus and your very own Farrell Henry Freeman. And it reminded me, and listening to that, I got to give a huge shout out to Dream Legacy Foundation. They're in Ottawa, and I got to give a big shout out to Dream Makers in Toronto. We have collaborated on a national project where we're going to be basically we've applied to be able to do a study on the state of the Black experience right across Canada. So I want to give them a huge shout out. Like, we have a lot of partners, and we have a lot of partners that have come together for this to make it happen. But it's like, it looks like it's come to flourishing. I want to give a big shout out to Dream Makers. They're doing tons of awesome, awesome things out there in Toronto and in Ottawa. They partnered with Carleton University. We have Concordia University, the OFC Cafe here in Montreal, and tons of other organizations from across Canada are going to be taking part. So that's a huge little plus for us as a melanated community. There's huge things coming down the pipeline. So, and unfortunately, so our guest that I was looking forward to wasn't able to join us this evening, but this morning, but will be with us next week. So we're definitely looking forward to having him.
Oh, All right, folks. So that was the Empower Hour for today. I hope everybody is feeling good. Thank you very much, Queen Kaya. Thank you very much, Queen Gina, King Pharaoh. That was the Empower Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. I am Queen and Miss Trish. We are now on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., available live on Instagram and Facebook, MTL Empower Hour. Hopefully, you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, the Pub St. Pierre, and our amazing team. You will stay blessed, black, and highly favored. Thanks for listening.
the street we are in the bar.
Is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Now more than ever, the simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
CKUT
Radio.
Radio.
Southwest Soundwaves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.